Like, I really truly love talking about rookies.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh fuck. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Game on. Let's ride.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast. I am Mike, the Fever's Fanaro. I truly hope Rookie Fever is one of your already must listens, but if not, we are bringing you at least two 2022 rookie profiles every week now until the NFL draft. So if this is your first listen, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss one. These profiles will be short shows packed with information on this incoming 2022 rookie class. This week's special guest is going to bring Rookie Fever our first rookie deep dive into this series. You can find him on Twitter at the FF Sandman. He's making his first time appearance on this show today. Britt, the Sandman Sanders, how the hell are you?
Wah, 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 wah. I'm good. I'm up. I'm breaking my coffee protocol this morning. Usually I drink 40 ounces of water before my coffee. Now I'm mixing, which means we're going to get a very lit Brit, which is always a good thing.
Wow, lit Brit. I like it. I'm looking forward to lit Brit.
I hope so.
Are you ready to get into this?
Always.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Nice. All right. So you got to choose your rookie that we're talking about tonight. And like I said at the top of the show, you went a little deep.
I went
a little deep with Matt Donnelly last year to a little CJ Maribel. And I owned a little too much CJ Maribel. Apparently, CJ Maribel didn't even get drafted. Luckily, as a UDFA, he found his way onto a team for a short stint, but I hope we're not going that deep tonight.
Maybe not. I don't know. Like, I think he's better than CJ Maribel, okay, which is a good thing, right?
And who are we talking about?
So we're going to talk about Sincere McCormick out of UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio. That's right. I know those things up in the USA conference. And I think the first thing that drew to my attention was he's just overall size. He's currently listed at 5'9", 205. So he has that threshold, right? And then you're like, okay, so what else am I going to be looking at for him? Because he's already with that sort of lesser conference. So you're going to need better stats to kind of pad. And so he had all three of his years in college. He had over 1,000 total scrimmage yards. He is an early declare, even though he's a junior from a small school, which quite frankly is really impressive. You know, he was actively involved in the passing game all 3 years. I don't watch a lot of film, mostly because I don't have the time. I'm not going to commit the time to that. And because there's just so many people that I trust that do it better than me, I just don't want to invest that time when I can look at the numbers and things like that.
Sure.
So I talked to Rich Adams on my show from the Debbie Dashboard. And, you know, he said that McCormick has really good vision. He's got really good burst. He's got some really good long speed on tape. And he said that McCormick has a couple flaws that he's a little concerned for. He says his contact balance is yearning sometimes. And overall, I think we're kind of looking for maybe a little better ability to be shedding tackles and things like that, which, I mean, makes sense when you look at his missed tackles forced. He was in an 83rd percentile, 66th percentile. So he's in the higher percentiles, but you kind of just wanting a little more being from that UTSA conference, right?
Sure.
And now the nerd in me, right? And I mean, I use nerd very generously because I'm not a true nerd, because I view any metric or any statistical dude analysts that likes to go into do coding, I consider those guys a creme de la creme. I'm just here kind of making my way without knowing what coding is or how to code.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to target probably like 6 or 7 different metrics that I really put a lot of emphasis on, and the rest are sort of icing on the cake, right? So my creme de la creme premier metric for any position is always an efficiency metric. And the reason why for me is that when I think of a running back or a wide receiver, I think of, you know, opportunities aren't necessarily a granted thing, right? Which is why draft capital is so important. So I want to make sure that this player that I'm drafting, especially someone like Sincere McCormick, who definitely isn't going to be a day one or day two guy, you want them to have been efficient with their opportunities. So usually you're looking for a yards per team attempt for running backs. So it's the amount of yards they've had in the season correlated with the amount of attempts the team had. So you want usually like a continued increase each year, and then ideally over like 1.8, maybe two. And every single year from McCormick, he had over a two yards per team attempt. So his freshman season, he had 2.2. His 2020 season at 2.95, and his 2021 season at 2.67. So that to me shows me, and those last two seasons were both upper 90th percentile efficiency metrics or scores. And that to me shows that, like, yes, he's working against a lesser competition, but he's also dominated against that lesser competition, which is what you want to see when we're sort of meshing these guys that may not have been going up against these Alabama-esque linemen and stuff, right?
I was going to bring that up. A pandemic couldn't even stop this man, right?
Yeah.
So in all the shortened 2020 seasons, he's putting up 1,400 yards, 250-plus carries. One of those years was 249. Let's call it 250. In 21 and 2020, capping off a three-year college stint with the Roadrunners with 298 attempts, 1,479 yards, and 15 touchdowns last year. And you already mentioned, like, and I love that metric that you really pay attention to, is it's like, I want to see him get a little better. He wasn't just getting a little better. He was getting better. Mm-hmm. better. That's mm-hmm. a short term for that 2.0 or lame man's mm-hmm. less nerdy like term, more. What's his calling card for you, Britt?
I think his calling card for me, honestly, is that I like that he brings that home run ability to the table.
Okay. Right?
So I like that he brings that burst. For me, it's really important when it comes to running backs that when they have a breakaway run, they aren't caught from behind. Right. So if I can see a running back that's consistently able to at least sustain the distance from the defender or increase the distance from the defender as they're breaking to the end zone, that's important to me, right? And then also, it's also important for me, especially with smaller schools, is like their backfield dominator rating, and did they break out? Like, he almost had an elite breakout his freshman season, which an elite breakout is like a dominator rating above 30%. He was 0.3% away his freshman season, right?
Wow.
He always had a backfield dominator rating of above 68, which is really good, meaning like he has at least 68 like complete percentage of all of the backfields or what they're involved with. Mm-hmm. And then also his target share is it's admirable. I mean, it's a little frustrating, to be honest, that it goes down every single year. 7.1% his freshman season, 6.76 his sophomore season, and 5.15 his junior season. I would have liked that to be inverse. Right?
Right.
But I mean, he's still getting 23 receptions, 19 receptions, yep. 23 receptions. So like he has that, he's meeting that threshold for like, okay, so clearly he was involved in the receiving game, which shows me that he has the talent to be yep. a receiver, and the coaching back wants to, you know, they want to get him more involved and more facets so that he's able to be more productive on the field because he's one of their best players. Right. Which is what we see with what he's been doing. He basically carried UTSA. I think they went and won whatever that championship's called this last year. I'm pretty sure it was on the back of McCormick, who's absolutely doing banana things. And like, he also had his last 2 years, he was responsible for 31% and 32% of the team's total offense. So he was just,
wow.
It's important to me when players carry their team, right? Especially when they're guys that are kind of in that CJ Maribel realm. We're like, man, I don't know. I'm kind of scared.
Right.
So I'm excited when he comes in. I know he's going to have that size, and I'm sure that he's going to come in and he's going to make his bread and butter these next couple of months.
Let's talk about that size. So that's going to be brought up. You said he meets the threshold, and I don't disagree with you. There are player comps for his size, but his size is going to come up because of the small school stuff. I think it's going to be emphasized then that the level of competition you play at a small school, it's going to come up. 5'9", 205 pounds. He's going to, in a way, have to prove that size and speed isn't everything, right? Like, he's going to have to come out and he's going to have to show teams other than teams that are fixated on both size and speed what he can do at the next level. Is size a concern for Britt Sanders?
I'm pretty generous Well, actually, that's a dirty lie. I'm not generous at all when it comes to size. It's really important to me. As long as I have a running back that meets a 205 threshold, and if they're 203, I'm not going to knock them and say, sorry, guy, you suck. You're not able to be a workhorse.
Of course.
As long as they're able to kind of be near that 205 weight mark, that's something that's really important to me. I think we've seen time and time again the NFL demonstrate, for whatever reason, probably because coaches are old curmudgeon-y men, that they're stuck in their ways and they really appreciate having those running backs that are a little thicker, able to be durable. And it's another good thing for McCormick is he's got two seasons of over 250 carries. And we do know that if they're able to sustain a big workload in college, that means they're more likely to sustain a big workload in the NFL because they've been able to show that durability and production. So those are all things I think are really, really important when it kind of taking in McCormick's overall prospect analysis.
I was going to say, I think that's a really good point, right? So the reason that size, and again, I think he's on that threshold, is so important to NFL teams is durability, and he's proven to be durable. So, you know, with a workload, not durable with half a workload, not Michael Carter workload. He was out there all the time. And like you said, he was carrying the team on his back. In fact, I saw an interview before this where teammates were reacting to him, declaring, and you could not have seen happier people for McCormick. They were so thrilled for him that he was going out into the NFL and just feels like that's where he belongs. And again, that goes back to what I was kind of saying pre-show, like that kind of stuff really matters to me. Yeah. is what players think, the soldiers, if you will, that you're going to war with, think about you. And so I love that you brought that up. I love that you brought up that his size will be a concern, but the concern that's related to the size is durability, which he's proven to have. Sincere McCormick also did a lot to help out his 22 NFL draft stock in 21, as he was the third in the country in carries with 298, seventh in the nation with rushing yards with the 1479 you mentioned before, and tied for 13th in the FBS with 15 rushing touchdowns. Where do you think he gets drafted? Let's talk about where he's going to go in NFL drafts. We're guessing here. We all know that, but it just kind of gives you an idea. CJ Maribel, for example, brought up already, was not drafted. Does he A, get drafted, and then B, how high is it even possible, and where is it more likely?
Yeah, so I mean, I want to say he gets drafted. I was doing a little background research, and he's already had 27 informal interviews with NFL teams.
Nice.
So it's informal, right? But what that means is that NFL teams have taken note of him, and they're doing their due diligence on him, right? So I think the fact that he's on the radar means he's more likely to be selected than not. I kind of have a sneaking suspicion. Again, it's really going to be dependent on how this process goes in the next couple of months. But I feel like the fifth round's a real good lock for him personally. I'd be floored if he gets into the fourth, and then there's certainly a way and there's certainly a path to the fourth round, but it's going to be more dependent on other guys kind of bombing out in this next little bit than him like excelling even more. I think he's done just about all he can do at this point to increase his draft stock as much as possible. The only slightly concerning portion that I have for McCormick is when it comes to these long shot guys, it's really important to me that they're involved in the special teams, right? Mm-hmm. And luckily we have a recency bias of Elijah Mitchell, like our firsthand, like Mitchell got on the team because he's a special teams contributor. And for McCormick, and it doesn't mean that he hasn't played special teams, but I just don't see, he wasn't a returner as a kick returner or a punt returner. So it would mean that he'd be a gunner or something like that. So it's certainly a possibility. Just something that would make me feel a little better, because usually those smaller school guys, it's obviously more difficult for them because their draft capital invested is usually means there's a little less opportunity overall.
So you brought up fifth round. So I'm going to jump ahead of my show sheet and I'm going to bring up a player comparison reaction. So I'm not asking you to compare him to an NFL player. I'm going to do that for you. Or I should say Andrew Fisher of NFLmocks.com compared him to fifth round draft pick Aaron Jones. Now, he said both were quick to the line of scrimmage and more powerful than you might think. Obviously, and this is the lazy part, they very comparable in size and weight. Both coming out of college, of a small school college, and also in their hometowns, right? So that has nothing to do with NFL football, but it was a commonality. And then, of course, that draft stock that we talked about before. And he mentioned top end speed, which you actually liked a little bit. He mentioned that they both kind of lacked a little bit of that top end and speed. The woo kind of makes it sound like you like it. Is it a hopeful woo? Like, oh my God, that would be the coolest thing in the world. Or is it like, is there any practicality in that at whatsoever for you?
I mean, I think it's similar to what you have when you have the, every year you got that small school guy that is, yep, is fast, or yeah, wide receiver that's fast, right? Mm-hmm. This is the next Tyreek Hill. He's gonna be amazing, right? it's comparisons are really difficult, because if you just factor in film analysis, you're more likely than not to go and link to the next, like the guy that in the NFL. And so, right, like, I'm not sure that Aaron Jones and McCormick are extraordinarily compatible in a lot of things. It makes me excited that it wasn't to some burnout, right? The fact that he was willing to compare him to Aaron Jones means that at least there was enough on tape that he was, sure, seeing that makes him excited. It's more of like a please woo than like a, I think this guy nailed it woo.
It sounded like a please woo to me. Like, mm-hmm, I know, and this is our first time on a podcast together, but it really kind of oozed of a please woo for me. So here are some concerns I found in Sincere's profile. Obviously, you mentioned a lot of this already, and we've mentioned a great majority of it, but I want to get your reaction. Level of competition, that's going to be by far the biggest one. Size, I think we kind of broke that down. And then, of course, the breakaway speed that I mentioned before. What are some concerns you have of your own with this player? You know, they're just concerns I saw. Mm-hmm. I want you to get negative now. I want you to say, this is why this player is going to fail. I feel like with these rookie profiles, I've been trying, especially in the newer ones this year, I've been trying, because we bring you guys on almost as hype machines. You want to talk about this player. So what happens, yeah, is they get a little too oozy with positivity, mm-hmm, for me, and it's, mm-hmm, not honest enough. So get honest, yeah, with me. Why is he going to fail? Or why would he maybe even not get drafted? What were going to be the reasons?
All right. So I think a big one is his yards after contact per attempt. He went down. It decreased every single year. So in 2019, it was 3.8, which is 75th percentile. 2020 was 3.23, 47th percentile. In 2021, it was 2.53, which is 11th percentile. It's concerning, right? Which also brings up to like the ability to like the contact balance. Now, on conversely, his missed forced tackles, he had 46, 63, and 47. So he's slippery in the open field, but once you get on him, he's going to fall down. So if you don't have that ability to kind of shed tackles and stuff, I think that's going to be an issue. We talked about his special teams. I really, really, really think it's important for these small school guys to be somewhat involved in the special teams. It doesn't mean that he can't be, mm-hmm, if he wasn't in college, because to be honest, why would you put your star running back on the special team squad in college, right? You need him to carry you. So, but in the preseason process, when he finds a team through the draft or the undrafted free agency, you're going to want to see if he's getting the special team snaps, because it's going to be just as important. And I think it has to be said that, like, coming from a small school, you are inherently just taking a risk, because you don't know. It's really difficult to gauge what you're getting from him and what traits are going to be compared nicely into the NFL, and what traits he's just only doing because he's playing against these guys that are future bank accounts and stuff like that.
Is there an NFL scheme or situation that you think would work best for his skill set?
So I like these teams. I always lean on a couple of teams because I like the coaches that don't give a rip about draft capital.
Good.
So I always say Pete Carroll, because I mean, I'm from Seattle. So our running back team is just an absolute cluster right now, right? And so I think if McCormick gets able to get some footing there, he's shown time and time again that if you can produce on the field, then you can produce for him. In terms of like a specific running scheme, I do vaguely remember Rich saying that I think he would succeed really well in a gap scheme. Okay. So I'm gonna go and steal that from Rich and say that that's the case. And Rich, if you listen to this and I'm wrong, please burn me, my man, burn me.
Or just comment when the profile comes out and give us an update. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, too.
So how about this? So you mentioned situation. This is very closely related. So like, put your fantasy hat on. I see you're wearing it. Put your fantasy hat on and tell me your favorite landing spot for this running back. Give me a nice juicy landing spot where at the end of this, you already had your eye on this player, and now you're like, oh crap, maybe somebody else is going to have their eye on him now.
You know, I think a nice spot that is underrated is going to be the Texans. And sure. the reason I say that is they've extended Rex Burkhead. And so, but they also mentioned that through the draft and through free agency, they're going to be addressing the running back position. I think the Texans are the type of team that's be taking these stabs at these later round guys, because they are the epitome of a dumpster fire, right? It's just gorgeous. So I think if he's able to get on there and the running back room is so wide open, I think that he'd have a really good path, at least getting some strong opportunities midway through the season, even beginning of the season, if things roll the right way for him.
And I think that's a likely kind of situation you laid out there too, because like they have so many needs, wants, and et cetera, mm-hmm. that you could, and they're nowhere close to the playoffs. So why would you invest early draft capital on a running back where you're not going to get enough out of that rookie contract to really make it matter? So why not take that late stab, right, in the fifth, sixth round at a running back and mm-hmm. as long as they don't do anything in free agency, which again, for the same reasons I just mentioned, you wouldn't do that there either. It does put that team in prime area for a player like this to get one, drafted, and two, opportunity, which is what we need out of our rookies. So I think, again, I love where your head's at there, Britt. So what is the consensus on this player now? And how does your opinion differ?
Well, I think the consensus is that he's a write-off at this point.
Yep.
And I just, from my background, looking at, you know, metrics and analytics, it's fun to make fun of them because numbers don't tell the whole story or whatever, but you just think of it as like checking boxes on a sheet. And McCormick's checked so many boxes that I just don't think it's feasible you can write him off. I think it's a disservice to like everything you're doing just to say impossible, right? Doesn't mean he's a running back 5 or 10, but he deserves to be in that situation where you're actively looking at him in like a rookie centric focus in your drafts. Like third round is probably a really solid spot to be looking to Sincere McCormick and when you can grab him. And then depending on how sharp your league is, right, you probably even wait around in the fourth and grab him then. I'm definitely like all the mocks I'm loading up in McCormick late. And I think that come draft time and come the preseason cycle, I think it's going to be pretty common. I'm hoping it'll be pretty common that you're grabbing him as a late round flyer for your fantasy team to sit on a taxi for a little bit.
All right. So you mentioned that you were going to get a little nerdy on us, and I held you back. I gave you reins. I'm like, oh boy, he Britt's about to go off on this player and give us everything he's got. So I wound up breaking you down a little bit and giving us in dribs and drabs. I'm guiding the show in this direction. This is your opportunity now to tell me, hey, did we miss anything on this player? Is there something you wanted to say about McCormick that we haven't already said in this profile before we move on to our last two questions where we talk about other rookies in this class that are on your mind? Is there anything at all?
Yeah, his weighted dominator rating. Mm-hmm. Weighted dominator is 80% rushing yards and 20% touchdowns. It's a better indicator of a player's true ability on the field, less so for fantasy, but like how active they were. He had an elite breakout his sophomore season in the 2020 season, which is if you get that predictive breakout of 30% or higher, it's really, really good. When you add in the fact that he is also an early declare and from a small school, it makes me think that he's hearing something from the NFL that makes him and his agent say, you know what, this is the right decision for us. You don't need another year of domination. Let's ride, baby. Let's get to some championships in the league.
Nice. That's a good way to close on this player. All right. So we're going to move over to just the rookie class in general. I'm going to ask you my two questions at the end of every profile. Who's your guy in this year's draft? Doesn't matter if it's the top, doesn't matter if it's the bottom. I've gotten Najee answers last year. I've gotten all over the place, but just who do you hang your hat on? I mean, there's first round busts, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to know somebody that you just feel real good about.
I feel really, really good about Trey McBride, the tight end out of Colorado State. I can't put a thumb on it. And I mean, a lot of it is because we don't have this elite prospect in the class, but he just does everything so well on film and in the metrics. And when he's at the combine, he just did things so well. It was really, really impressive. So, I mean, Terry McBride, someone that I anticipate being very heavy on and come our post NFL drafts. And then the honorable mentions, Tyler Algier out of BYU. The dude has done so much just in 2 years as a running back being converted from the linebacker. You guys already talked about him, it looked like. So
yep.
I'm a big Algier fan as well.
Nice. I like both of those. I was very jealous I didn't get to do the Trey McBride player profile because I just have, and I think some of our listeners have learned to trust this when I say it, because I don't say it often, but I have this gut feeling. And same. My gut feeling is normally from an assimilation, just like you, right? Like I don't watch all the film. It's from me literally digesting everything out there and then just looking at the player myself with my own eyes, not highlights. But I'm also not film watching. I don't want to make it sound like I am. But all that stuff came together, and I have something in my gut that tells me that this guy is undervalued right now and is going to have like more value than you think, and make me feel right about that gut feeling. I don't know what it is. I wish I could tell you, listeners. I know that's a bunch of BS. There's nothing there you can hang your hat on, but maybe just do this. Maybe when you hear Trey McBride, just have a little bit more of an open mind and listen a little more carefully, because he might not be mentioned as much as some of these other rookies. So you might have to find that information, but it might be worth looking for, is all I'm saying. So, all righty, we got one more left. One guy you just won't touch. You just won't touch him, and everyone's going to overdraft him.
So the one guy, I'm a two-part this. The one guy I won't touch is Wandale Robinson. If you want to draft a guy that is the same size as my cousin, who's 14 years old, if you want to draft a guy who looks good in blue, you're going to draft Calvin Austin. You're not going to draft Wandale Robinson. All right. I have no interest in him. And I think given everything we've seen, I'm just happy to let him be this hybrid that everyone wants to happen that won't ever happen. The one guy that I was really excited about him, right? So like I was like Chris Olave's, like I was prepared, I was gearing up for this pre-offseason. Like I'm gonna fight to the death that Chris Olave doesn't just belong in the top three. Like this is easy. And all of a sudden people are like, no, he's not top three wide receivers. Like, so what am I doing this whole season, guys? I've been ready. Let's go. And so through that process, I'm slowly coming around on Olave and like what he's able to contribute to your fantasy team and everything like that. And then, you know, with the combine, old boy comes and drops a 4.26. Like, well, okay, getting the gear back on because we're going to go to war. I'm already seeing Olave wide receiver three, Olave wide receiver two. And I'm like, even though it was adjusted from a 4.35, the people are going to latch on to that 4.26 energy and going to ride that straight into your rookie drafts. And so, unfortunately, I think that means that Olave is no longer going to be available at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round. He's gonna be like a mid first round pick. And that's just too much for me. Yeah. Too much for like a very solid wide receiver too.
It's funny. I feel like I was playing that same little game with you. Like, I'm like, oh, you know, I like this guy. If he falls far enough, I think that there's some value here. And then you see his name creeping up here and there. And you're just like, well, that's still not enough. Like, depending on which rookie draft I'm in, I still might get him in that spot I want to get him, where I feel comfortable getting him. And then that number comes out. And for those of you who think the combine doesn't matter, you're wrong. For those of you who think that teams don't care about it, you're wrong, because there only needs to be one. One. That's the thing we all forget. One team has to really like that 4.2 speed. That's it. And the NFL likes speed. I would argue they don't like it. They love it. They're addicted to it. So when he did that, things are going to change. I don't care whether you like it or not. Things are going to change. And if it changes out there, whatever you want to say out there is, whether it's the NFL draft, whether it's Twitter, whether it's rookie rankings that are coming out, all of it is going to change. And it's going to be more value then perhaps you were willing to assign on the player. So what I want you to do is remember how you felt about the player before the 4.2. Just remember how you felt about the player before the 4.2. And if you don't have an opinion because you listen to podcasts like this and you watch shows and all that, if you didn't have an opinion, get those opinions that were before the 4.2 then. They're all on. We have receipts. Podcasts are by date. You can go on YouTube. It's by date. Go look at what they felt about Chris Olave before. And I'm not saying Chris Olave's trash. That's the last thing I'm saying. I like the player, but he's going to be liked a little bit too much, I think, for my taste too, Britt. I think you nailed it. I think that's a really good one.
He's going to the Raiders. I'm just going to let you know.
Yeah,
he's
right?
Going
to Raiders. Oh, my God.
It is going to happen.
Actually, I'll tell you, if he goes to the Raiders, that's actually going to ruin it again.
It's going to destroy it. It's going to make me happy and sad, mostly because all of a sudden, everyone investing like a top six round draft capital in Hunter Renfrow, I'm going to go cry, and it makes me happy. And then it's going to make me sad because now it's going to get the Henry Ruggs comparisons because he's better than Henry Ruggs.
Yes.
At the combine, I dropped a podcast on Rookie on the Rise about the combine and why I like it, why it's important. It's like 30 minutes long, which is probably too long to hear my voice in any sustained stretch, but it was important. And the reason why is when you have guys, the combine doesn't really matter as a whole for wide receivers when it comes like 40 times and things like that. What's important is like their burst and their agility. So the three cones, the verts, the broads, and Olave did really well in those, obviously, because the dude separates on film. Like combines are important, all right? Combines are important, and I can go on for another 30 minutes about it.
Yes, just yes. Britt, thank you very much. Please tell everyone where they can find you, your content, and anything you have coming up that you want to promote.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter at the F Sandman, FF Sandman. If you have anything nice to say, just please. If you have anything mean to say, definitely say it. Your hate fuels me and it just makes me really happy. You can find my podcast, Rookie on the Rise, on all of your major streaming people, dudes, like the apps, whatever those are called, right? You can find me on Devi with Brandon Lejeune on YouTube at Devi to Dynasty Dashboard.
Nice.
If you're into Devi, I strongly suggest kind of looking into that. It's a really phenomenal tool and it's relatively cheap given to what you're given. And then I'll also be coming out with a podcast digging into strictly metrics on the college side of things called Predictive Measures of Success. We're going to start airing that in a little bit here. Once the rookie season starts to die down a little bit, we'll be digging into college players and getting to all those goodies.
Damn, you're busy. Woo. Thanks again, Britt. And from Swagzilla Zero G and myself, thank you, our listeners. This is the Rookie Fever Podcast. Please do not forget to rate and review. Please, 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 please. I can keep doing this. And please do not forget to be awesome. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever, in the morning, fever all through the night, sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night, I light up when you call my name, and you long on a treat you ride, rookie fever, when you kiss me, when you hold me tight.
The one-on-one scouting has never done this to before. And run, I showed you anyone. Size and speed, just on real landing spot. Not ideal, wait, let's break out a full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever. I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever, now you got the fever. So she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's beat the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Fever, now you got the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.